Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together and have joy, sing the praises about our mighty Lord Jesus Christ. He is indeed the fairest of them all. It's indeed his amazing grace that came down and saved us of all we were wretched sinners. We praise you for your goodness. Thank you for the great hymnody that we enjoy that brings to mind the first time you saved us and how grateful and how broken we were when you first revealed yourself to us through your grace. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving us and for being with us all these years. We pray that you continue through your word this morning to encourage us and to build us up in the faith, that we might continue to serve you and glorify you the rest of our lives as we serve in this priesthood of all believers before you. We'd ask for your help this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit, that these words, if you written down, would be an encouragement to the brethren. I'd ask that Christ. Amen. Amen. So I hope you have your Bibles with you. If not, hope you have your brains with you. We'll use either and both. But this is going to be an open Bible test, so you're welcome to use the word this morning. I've given you a handout. Does everybody have one of these little half-page handouts?
Yeah.
Good. We're going to have some fun this morning. You see here a chiasm or a chiasmus. It refers to a clockwise arrangement of concepts or words that are repeated in reverse order. Lord Jesus used this literary device, this technique, and it was very common in the ancient world, and you'll find it throughout the scriptures. We may have shared this with you before, but we think literally, we think A, B, C, D, E. That's how we would outline a chapter. But in the ancient world, they didn't do it that way. They didn't have the Bible written down. Remember, they just got the printing press to print out the Bible 500 years ago. They went without books 2,000 years ago, a lot more than they went with books. Scrolls were expensive. Scribes took a lot of time to write something down. But without that, they used literary devices that helped your brain remember things. And it's easier for your brain to remember something if it's repeated. So they would use these literary techniques that are just fascinating. And you'll find our Lord Jesus Christ using them in the scriptures. There's a specific type of a chiasm. Usually a chiasm goes A, B, C, the main point, B, A, where the A's repeat, the B's repeat. You've got this arrow to the main point that the passage is wanting to make. But here, you've got a specific type of chiasm. It has exact symmetry, and I've given you an example. But I found a name for it finally. I've wanted to know what the name of this was, and it's an animetaboli. It's a mouthful here. Animetaboli. And I listed it there for you so you can see it. I think the A and B should be together, aboli. Anyway, here's an example in Mark chapter 2:27 of one of these that the Lord Jesus used himself. In Mark 2, they were challenging the Lord Jesus because his disciples had done what on the Sabbath day? They had the nerve to eat. They had picked some pieces of grain and crushed them in their hands and were eating those as they were going along, just as the scripture says is okay for them to do. And the Pharisees would go to Jesus and say, "Why are your disciples doing this?" Then the Pharisees would go to his disciples and says, "Why is your leader doing this?" So they were always trying to challenge what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing and what his disciples were, trying to catch him up. And he gave them this answer. He said to them, "Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." See the reversal of the A, B, the B, A? I think you see the pattern. So you've got 12. Actually, you've got six boxes. If you were to draw that box around four lines down below there, I've given you six places to write down some of these. So you don't have to write it down for this first one. The Sabbath was made for man, and man for the Sabbath. But if you were, the first box, the first line on your page would say Sabbath. The next one would say man. And then down below the word Sabbath, you'd have man and then Sabbath to the right of that. So you'd use four of these blanks together or a square. And I didn't make squares. I should have. But that would give you, vertically with the arrows. But you'd have six places to put on here these animetabolites. So we're going to have some fun this morning looking at some of the scriptures that are like this, and maybe surprise you with some that we can find along the way. But let me give you a little bit more information about this pattern that we find in scripture. Chi, just a little bit of Greek for you this morning. Chi is our 22nd letter of the Greek alphabet, and it looks like our X. And that's why this is called a chiasm, if you will. It's got a chiastic structure pattern. It's often used in narrative prose. Almost every psalm has a chiasm. Almost every psalm does. The easiest one for me to think of is Psalm 8. Oh, Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. Starts out that way. Guess what the last verse of Psalm 8 is? Oh, Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. In the middle, in the very middle, is what the arrows are pointing to. He made him a little lower than the angels. Center is often Christ. The center of the cross is often Christ. And he went to the cross. It's a beautiful thing once you see it, how the Lord designed it. And it's been here all this time. And for years, I've never seen it. So I hope it's an encouragement to you this morning. Let me give you an example of how often this is used in our culture, and you don't even realize it. These any metabolies. I'll let you finish it for me, you that are friends of the three musketeers. One for all. There you go. You guys are getting this. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. The Cat in the Hat said, I think it was the Cat in the Hat. He says, I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. I like this one. The IRS's motto, we've got what it takes to take what you've got. Hey, that's all right. When the going gets tough, all right. John F. Kennedy had one that's famous. Eric, get it. Yeah, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. They all stole this from the Lord Jesus Christ. He used these way before any of these other guys did. So I want you to know the root of this is in ancient literature. It's in your scriptures. And so to prove that to you today, can anybody think of another one in scripture just off the top of your head? Raise your hand. Don't say it out loud. Just raise your hand. Can any of you think of one off the top of your head? All right. Then we're going to make a little game of it this morning. I think it's better when you discover them yourselves. Isn't that interesting? So this dividing line right here, we have the theologians of old. On this side of the aisle, we have the professors of divinity. So I'm just going to wait for you to raise your hand, and I'm going to call on one side. I'm going to keep a little tally how well you guys do here. We're going to see who's give you a little competition this morning. See how you guys do. So I'm going to give you a passage. And I'm going to wait for whoever raises their hand first to tell me where this chiasm is. Are you ready? 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. The context is the return of the Lord in 2 Peter chapter 3. That's for you to find out, Mr. Ed. You may need the luck of the Irish this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3. There's a hand. Yes, sir. What do you got? Correct. Verse 8. Which side did I say this was? The theologians of divinity?
No.
The old theologians. Okay. All right. So that's one for the old theologians. So on your page right here, you would say 1,000 years and a day. And then you would say a day and 1,000 years. And you can write 1 Peter 3:8 beside that. 1 Peter 3:8. keep it easy, we're gonna call this T and this P, theologians and the professors. All right, ready for the next one? Anybody thought of another one just off the top of their head? They get bonus points for this. Theologians are ahead, 1-0. All right, John chapter 8. John chapter 8 has a lot of verses in it. So you may actually find one that I didn't come up with, but John chapter 8, and I'll give you a hint, it's towards the back of the chapter. John chapter 8. It's a long chapter. So towards the end, John chapter 8, it has 59 verses. I'll tell you what, it's in the 40s. I'm going to make it easier on you. It's in the 40s. In the 40s, John chapter 8, in the 40s. This one's a little tougher.
Whoever belongs to God, here's what God says. The reason you don't hear is you don't belong to God.
Exactly. John 8:47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. So that's ESV. You need the King James Version to hear it more clearly. But John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. So the chiasm is God hearing, then hearing God. Now that's a fun one. That's not one that I often think of. Since we're here in John, that's two for the theologians. Pretty sharp this morning. Come on, professors, right before you on this side. To give you a little edge, I'll go ahead and tell you where the next one's gonna be. It's gonna be in John 15. Oh wait, I told both. Maybe that's one. John 15. Let's find the next one. 15:7. Let's read that. That's not the one I have, but you may have found another one. You're going to get bonus points. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Yes. Bonus right there. There's 2 points for the theologians right there. He found one I didn't have written down. So John 15:7. That's what's amazing about these. They're so throughout scripture that we bypass them and don't even see them sometimes. And there's lots of them. There's another one in this chapter. Come on, Ed. I know you've quoted this verse to me. Come on, Ed. I'm rooting for you.
What's pressure?
Pressure. I chose you, Ed. Come on, Ed. Chin. Oh, there's more than one? You're on the same team. That's okay. 17, 16-ish.
19. Okay. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain my love. Just like get my Father's commandments, remain in his love.
Ooh, that's pretty good. What verse is that?
It's not my Bible.
It should still have verses in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. He found one there in 10. That's not the one I chose. Yes, sir.
Verse 2.
Oh, that's good too. I'm counting it. But guess what? That's still not the one I chose.
19.
What's 19 say?
If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world.
That's good too. And still not the one I chose. Do you see how often these are happening? And this is Jesus talking through here, right? All right, Ed, you got to help me out. Read verse 16, please, sir.
16?
Yes, sir.
You did not choose me, but I chose you.
There you go. There's the easy one. Yeah, 15:16. I did not choose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. He's using this pattern over and over to make these verses stick in your mind.
Wow, that's good.
15, you guys found 3 of them before you found the one I picked. That shows you how often they can be used. And who's using them? The Lord Jesus is using them. This is how he talked to people so they could remember what he said. All right, 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to go to the Apostle Paul. He gets in on this as well. 1 Corinthians 11. I didn't write down how many verses were in these chapters, so I'll tell you, it's between, it's in the first 10 verses. How about that?
Verse 9.
There you go, 9. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. There's another one in this chapter. 8. There's two of them right together. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. See how often this is happening right underneath our noses? It's fascinating. How about Galatians? Hey, we and our great, great, great grandfather Adam counted all the animals and couldn't find anything we needed. So we better be thankful the Lord picked a woman from our side.
I want to point out Dale.
Yeah.
He actually had John 8 before whoever said it here.
Good job, Dan.
He's on our side.
He's on your side. The theologians, yeah, the theologians are borrowing help from everywhere. Galatians 5, I just turned 16. Read 16 for me, sir.
I say, walk in the Spirit and you shall not be in the rest of the world. Wait, no, 17.
There's the one. Yeah, 17 is what I have.
The Spirit and the Spirit makes the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So you do not do the things that you wish, but do not do things. But yeah, that's the one.
The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. But our bodies want versus what the Spirit of God wants that lives within inside us. And then the desires of the Spirit against the flesh. That is a great one, and it's a great reminder to us this morning. We're at war right now, aren't we? It's a spiritual battle. Our bodies want to do stuff that they shouldn't. This flesh, until we get rid of it, we fight the sin in it that we inherited from Adam. But thank our triune God for giving us the Holy Spirit, that we can live by the Spirit. And when we fail, we repent of our sins. You want another one? Let's let John in on this. John, I don't think John can write paragraph about using one of these. So we're just going to pick a couple of them. But John, 1 John chapter 4. You're more than likely to find 6 of them before I find the one I found. But 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. It's in the back. Read it to me. There you go. There's one that I didn't have written down.
12.
Read 12, Ed.
Whoever has a son has life. Whoever does not have a son, it's not every.
So that one, interestingly, uses son and life twice, but it doesn't invert them. So it would be a chiastic formula, but it wouldn't be necessarily an antibody. I have to look at
anti-metabolic.
Anti-metabolic. There we go. I love hearing it said properly. That's fantastic. Look at verse 15. Yeah, you found it? What's it say?
Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God.
God abides in him and he in God. See how it goes. John 4:15. How about 12? No, it's that may have been one that somebody said. What's fun is you guys are finding more than I'm looking for. Check out 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. It's in the middle. In the middle verses. 1 John chapter 2. Read that for me.
Do not love the world or anything in the world, for if anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. That's an idea. I bet it's a little different.
There you go.
In James.
And you'll notice some of our versions, some of our translations, mess this up for us. And we lose some of this, but if you go back to the Greek, you'll see the Greek word each time. It's fun. Look down a little further in verse 18 as well. It says, children, it is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. Yeah. This is used by John. This is used by the Apostle Paul. This is used by our Lord Jesus Christ, who they are mimicking as they write. And this was the way of the ancients to write this way. And why this can be helpful, why I find it so helpful, is when I'm reading the scriptures, when I see repeating things, I was always taught, hey, if something's repeated, that's important. Now I'm starting to see this pattern, so I know what's going on, so I don't jump to the wrong conclusion. My favorite example is in First Peter, where we looked in chapter 3. The context is the return of the Lord. There were scoffers. They're saying, hey, where's his coming? Well, Peter uses this phrase, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. He's referring to how long it takes the Lord to come back and do something, because we have an eternal God. A lot of people pull this verse out of context and try to tell you it has something to do with the days in Genesis. It just drives me crazy. It's an
anti-metabully.
It's an anti-metabully. Peter's using to say the Lord can take as long as he wants. He's eternal. He doesn't have a time frame like us.
By the way, Dale is rocking this. You can't see, but he's got 3 more that he covered in here.
Nice,
13, Dale. 14, chapter 2, and 21.
Well, let's read them if we have time. Actually, yeah, right? Tell us what those were again there.
Verse 13. Verse 14 in chapter 2 and verse 21.
2, 14 and 21 in chapter 2. I'm telling you, they're everywhere. Now that you've seen the pattern, you'll start seeing them when you're reading. And what it doesn't confuse my mind as much anymore. Because I try to read it like a Westerner. If I start reading it like an Easterner or the ancient mind, I can make better sense of these things. It can help you in your Bible study. That's my hope. Now, this might confuse anyone that was a Detroit basketball fan between 1981 and 1994. Okay? But Isaiah has a triple-double. Okay? And not Isaiah Thomas, the Hall of Famer, but the biblical prophet from 800 BC. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. The triple-double. I just love it. Lest you think the Lord Jesus didn't give some of the prophets some of this as well. He gave Isaiah a triple dose here in Isaiah 5, verse 20. Isaiah 5, verse 20, it says this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The triple double. Turn to Matthew 23. Matthew gets in on it as well. Actually, it's Jesus talking. Here's kind of a, I thought this was kind of just the double, but I noticed it's kind of a triple here. Matthew 23:12. It says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So it uses exalts, himself, and humbled, and then reverses it. Mark gets in on it too. It's everywhere. Mark 8:35. Jesus says this again. I say Mark, but these are the words of the Lord Jesus that Mark remembered Peter telling him about. Mark 8:35. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. Isn't that good? Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. Maybe we could go back even farther. How about Genesis? Can you think of any in Genesis? I've got a triple for you in Genesis. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. He tripled it for us, and our culture still can't remember this. He tripled it for us, but our culture can't remember. It says this: whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. So you have A, whoever sheds, B, the blood, C, the man. Then you have C, by the man, B, shall his blood, A, be shed. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. So, not of least importance, but last, turn to Matthew 19 for me. Matthew 19. And this one, I knew about these two, but I never knew that these two were also reversed later on, making a sandwich for us with something in the middle. So you got to check this out. Matthew 19, verse 30 says, but many who are first will be last, and last will be first. Well, check out Matthew 20, verse 16. Matthew 20, verse 16. Yeah, so the last will be first, and the first last. So he just undid it. No, wait, what's in the middle? Why is this important? Why did Jesus teach this way? Christ himself taught this way in the parable of the workers recruited for a penny a day. That's in between these two and a bed of bullies. The parable is bound by the classic chiasm, the first shall be last, the last should be first, in chapter 19, then repeated at the end of the parable, the last should be first and the first last, in 2016. In between the parable is a dramatized chiasm. The first laborers are called up last, and vice versa. In the parable itself, this clearly demonstrates the chiasm as a conscious technique in the mind of Christ for teaching his disciples. When you know he's doing this to help you remember, because you don't have a Bible in front of you necessarily as he's teaching the crowds, it's very helpful to see what he's doing so you can remember his words.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
And so his words you'll remember. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the mighty glory of your word. We praise you for your goodness in revealing yourself to us and using language and technique and literature to help us remember the important things that the Lord Jesus Christ says. We praise you for the majesty that we see from your word as you demonstrate it, even in how you write down and how our Lord Jesus said things to people. We pray that we've seen great things in your word this morning, that we would just praise you with our souls, and that you would receive the glory this morning. We'd ask that in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.